Well, welcome back. Welcome anew to the Further Faster podcast. I'm Joseph McClendon III, and along with my amazing guest today, we will be your guides, your hosts, and maybe even your mentor to do exactly what the name implies, and that is to assist you in going further faster. And around here, further faster means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. And I'm going to start off by saying my amazing guest today, very few times in life you ever meet people that have actually faced death and come back from it. Well, this guy has stepped across the line not once, but twice. And the greatest part about it is, it's not just that the lessons that he learned and that he, you know, will impart on and has imparted on people, he has methodology and process behind it as well to help you go further faster. So grab a pad and paper so that you can take some notes, because you're going to be absolutely delighted to meet Hal Elrod. And we'll be right back in just a few moments. Well, welcome back again. Listen, my guest, the amazing Hal Elrod, he is, as he says, he's on a mission to elevate the consciousness of humanity one person at a time. Well, I don't believe that for one bit, because he's doing it at groups and masses at a time. He's an international keynote speaker, and he's a host of the popular Your Goals podcast, or Achieve Your Goals podcast, and he's the author of the highest rated book in the world, The Miracle Morning. And that's what he does, is helps people do that. And so, Hal, welcome to the Further Faster podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Joseph, it's an honor. I mentioned before, you're a living legend. I used to see you on stage at Tony Robbins events, and it's an honor to be in your presence and connect with you today.
Well, my pleasure, and my pleasure for having you here. And as we always say around here at Further Faster, it's not just about the knowledge, it's about the process as well. And I teased in the very beginning that you faced death and returned from it. You didn't just face it, but you stepped on the other side twice. If you wouldn't mind, share with everybody. And by the way, before I say this, I mentioned this to Hal before we got started. My team sent me his documentary last night, and I could not put it down. I told myself, I'm just going to watch a little bit of it, and then I got other stuff I got to do, and I could not put it down. So we're going to put it in the description, and I would highly recommend everybody gets it and takes a look at it. But in the meantime, Hal, would you share with us a little bit about your journey, if you will, what brought you to where you are and what you do?
Yeah. So when I was 8 years old, I woke up one morning and my sister died in front of me with my mother. So my mother lived, but my sister died in her arms, and she was just a baby, a year and a half, 18 months old. And so that was kind of the first, you know, time in my life where I faced death from someone I loved. Fast forward 12 years later, I was driving home from giving a speech at an event, and my Ford Mustang was hit head on by a drunk driver at 70 miles per hour. And another car hit me in the door at 70 miles an hour. And instantaneously, I broke 11 bones. My arm broke in half, my leg broke in half, my eye socket, you name it. And I began losing a lot of blood. And an hour later, when they used the jaws of life to cut me out of the car, I actually bled to death. And I was clinically dead for 6 minutes while they airlifted me to the hospital. I spent 6 days in a coma. I flatlined twice more, and I came out of the coma 6 days later to be told I had permanent brain damage and I would never walk again, according to doctors. And my mindset was, I can't change that I was in a car accident, as terrible as this was. So the only choice I have is, really, I can either be miserable and blame it on the car accident, or I can be completely at peace. And I actually went even further, and I told my dad, I said, Dad, if I'm in a wheelchair the rest of my life, I'll be the happiest, most grateful person that you've ever seen in a wheelchair, because I'm never going to allow my outer circumstances that I can't change, things that have happened in the past, to determine the one thing we can all choose, which is, how am I going to feel in this moment? Am I going to focus on what I can't change, or am I going to accept what I can't change and focus my energy on what I have to be grateful for, on where I want to go in my life, so on and so forth? And I took my first step 2 weeks after I came out of the coma, 3 weeks after the crash, and the doctors could hardly explain it. They couldn't believe it. And then you fast forward 17 years later, about 6 years ago, I was diagnosed with a rare aggressive form of cancer, acute lymphoblastic leukemia. and I was given a 20 to 30% chance of surviving. It was much more difficult to deal with because now I had a 7-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son to consider, and a wife, of course. And that was probably the hardest thing I'd been through, is just the facing being so close to death and leaving my kids without a dad. Yeah. But once again, I maintained what I call the miracle equation: unwavering faith, extraordinary effort. I did my miracle morning every day, and I focused the entire miracle morning practice on healing my body and beating cancer. And similar to the car accident, within a couple of months, the doctors were blown away at how I was in remission and how quickly my body was healing. And as you mentioned, we were in the middle of filming that documentary when I was diagnosed with cancer. And I called our director. I said, hey, Nick, I've got to fight for my life right now. The movie needs to be put on hold. And he said, Hal, no offense, I love you, brother. You're going to beat this. He said, and this is the movie. I think yes. That I would, all respect, Hal, I would like to come to the hospital and I would like to film you. I know your mindset. He said, I would like to film you beating cancer because it can inspire millions of people to overcome whatever challenges they're faced. And of course, you saw the film, and I'm grateful that he talked me into that, which was a little outside of what I was thinking about. Yeah.
We all are, thank God, you know, yeah. And a couple of things. So now I want to talk to more about this miracle morning here in a second. But before we do, I want to ask you, where did that come from? Where did that mindset, as you call it, come from that made you say, because I love that statement that you said, that if I'm going to be in the wheelchair, I'm going to be the happiest guy in a wheelchair. Yeah. Where did that come from?
So a couple of things. I look back to when my sister died when I was 8. My parents, of course, were devastated.
Oh, cool.
However, in less than a year, my mother was leading a support group for other parents who had lost their children. My father was leading an annual fundraiser for the hospital that tried to save my sister's life. Of course, they didn't succeed in that, but they tried and they took care of her. And so my family, every year we raised money for the hospital. So the point being, the first piece was I learned from my parents that nice. You turn your pain into purpose. Mm-hmm. You turn your tragedy into a way to serve other people. So that was the first seed that was planted when I was young. But the biggest piece of the mindset was a year and a half before the night of my car accident, I started selling Cutco cutlery.
I remember
the world's finest cutlery, right?
And yes,
in-home presentations. Well, on my second day of training, my mentor taught me something called the 5-minute rule. And basically, he explained it this way. He said, in sales, it's a microcosm for life's adversity, meaning the average person faces rejection occasionally. He said, as a salesperson, you're going to face it every single day, multiple times a day, on the phone, on appointments. The average person occasionally fails. Maybe they fail to reach their goal once a year. You're going to fail day after day, week after week. So as I'm getting a little discouraged, I'm going, I don't know if I want to give this, this career a try. But he said, you need a strategy to quickly move through adversity so you can keep moving forward faster and further, right? And he said, the 5-minute rule is simply this. It states that when something goes wrong in your life, and of course, in this context, it was, you know, in your job, in your career, he said, you set your timer for 5 minutes. You give yourself 5 minutes to fully feel your emotions. Don't suppress them. Don't ignore them. If you're angry, feel angry. If you're sad, cry. If you're, you know, you got to vent, whatever you got to do, feel the emotions fully. But when the 5-minute timer goes off, he said, you have to acknowledge, and this is a really important lesson if you're listening, every painful emotion that we've ever experienced is self-created by our resistance to our reality. Now, no one usually taught us that when we were younger. We always point at something. You go, no, I'm upset because of what she did or because of what I lost. But the reality is the same person, another person could lose the same thing or experience the same tragedy, and they choose to be at peace with it. So one person's emotionally distraught, the other person's totally at peace. So is it the thing that's causing the emotional pain, or is our response? And my manager taught me, the only choice you have if you want to move forward is to accept reality exactly as it is. Don't resist reality and wish something in the past were different, because that's futile. It's delusional. It doesn't change anything. So I learned this strategy. And at first I thought what many people listening are probably thinking, which is like, you gotta be kidding me. 5 minutes? I'm not going to get over it in 5 minutes. And at first I didn't. I'd set the timer for 5 minutes. It'd go off and I'd go, I'm still upset. This is stupid.
Yeah.
But after a few weeks, my consciousness was elevated and I became aware of, oh, I can get to the point where I accept the thing that I can't change and I'm at peace with it. And after a while, 5 minutes felt like a waste of time. I go, why am I going to stew in this for 5 minutes when I could just, you know, scream, release that energy and say, can't change it. Those are the three words that the bridge, if you will, from resistance to acceptance. And so the point is, Joseph, I practiced that for a year and a half on a daily basis and got to the point of realizing when bad things happen to us, we can either resist it and cause emotional pain, or we can accept it, be at peace, and move forward. And so that was where I got that mindset from. And to this day, whether it's major tragedies or it's sitting in traffic going, oh, I'm going to be late. And I go, wait a minute, I can't change it. There's no point in wishing that I could. The only logical choice I have is to accept it fully and move forward.
That is so beautiful and so many nuggets there. Thank you so much for that. And you know, when you talk about your consciousness, I always look at it like this. That's just thinking. That's just your conscious thoughts of what's really going on inside of you. And I agree with you 1,000%. It's a, you know, after a while, 5 minutes seems like a long time, and we can trigger ourselves to automatically default, if you will. We call it neuroencoding, to default to that mindset or that psychology that is going to serve us versus spending any time in that at all. And to your point, I agree with you 1,000%. It's not pushing the stuff under the carpet and push it away. If you can do something about it, do something about it. And the truth of the matter is, in that moment, this is the reality. Let me either do something about it or get happy and move on. You know, you're so fortunate to have had that. I've had great parents as well who taught me lessons like that as well. And you and I also share something in common. My first mentor, if you will, was Jim Rohn. Jim, I actually got to speak at his memorial when he passed away a couple years ago. I knew Jim for many, many years, but he was my first introduction after the book Think and Grow Rich, by the way, to personal development.
Yeah.
And the second thing was, and you're bringing back so many memories, after I had heard Jim Rohn on, wait for it, cassette.
At least it wasn't 8-track. I mean, okay.
I remember 8-tracks. I had an 8-track in my car.
Nice.
I saw a book in the, and I don't know what triggered me to do it, except for I had been exposed to Jim Rohn. And this was, I want to say, 1972. The book was called How to Hang Loose in This Uptight World. And it was just a different kind of book. And I got it and I read it. And your story about what your sales manager taught you was similar to what I learned then. Now, I had parents that would make my sister and I go out in the wintertime and knock on doors of strangers and collect money for the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And I hated it.
Oh, yeah.
I hated it because we got, you know, called rejected. Names and the door slammed. Yeah. But I remember he said that, you know, similar to what you were saying, he said that you're going to walk up and you're going to get rejected. And he said the first time he got rejected, he walked up to this woman's house and she just lit into him. And she just told him, how dare you interrupt my day and all this stuff and everything. And he said, I remembered what my sales manager said about rejection, which was similar to what you said. And he said, I walked away and he thought, I had her for 60 seconds. Somebody else, like her husband's, got her for the rest of his life. Let me be happy about that.
That's funny.
So tell us a little bit about the morning or the miracle morning,
miracle
because
morning.
That is something, as I say to everybody, this is about process. And process will produce the result that you want. Share with us a little bit about that, where it came from, and really kind of some of the fundamentals of what it is.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I never intended that it would be a book. First of all, let alone a book that was translated in 37 languages and sold millions of copies. Like, that was not even a consideration. It was 2008 and the economy had just crashed.
Yep.
And I crashed with it. I was a coach. I had my own business. I coached salespeople and business owners. And naturally, as the economy crashed, their businesses crashed and they couldn't afford to pay me for coaching. And so within about 6 months, I lost over half of my clients, therefore half of my income. I couldn't pay my mortgage. I couldn't afford to pay the bills. I began living on credit cards. And I went from being debt-free homeowner to having $52,000 in credit card debt and having my house foreclosed on and moving back in with my dad. And a friend of mine, I confessed to him how bad it had gotten, my friend John Berghoff, and he encouraged me to listen to a Jim Rohn audio. Mm-hmm. And I knew who Jim Rohn was and I'd heard him before. And I got kind of frustrated because I go, dude, I need help making money. Yeah. Why are you just brushing me off and sending me to go listen to somebody else's self-help audio? And he said, this audio, if you implement it, it will shift your mindset so you can transform your life and change your financial situation. I go, okay, I got nothing to lose. I'll give it a shot. And I listened to Jim Rohn audio and Jim Rohn said in that audio, a quote that literally changed my life faster than I ever thought possible. And it really gave birth to the Miracle Morning. In fact, I never got to meet Jim in person. I didn't have the fortune that you did, but I wish I had because I would thank him. I mean, the Miracle Morning, he was the spark. And here's the quote. Jim Rohn said, your level of success in every area of life will seldom exceed your level of personal development because success is something you attract by the person that you become. And Joseph, I quantify things in my mind. Immediately I went, okay, what level? There's two questions. What level of success do I want in every area of my life? And what's my level of personal development in each of those areas? And the first question, I think, is the same answer for all of us. On a scale of 1 to 10, I wanted level 10 success in every area of my life. I think that's an innate drive and desire within every human being is I want to be as happy as I possibly can be. I want to be as financially secure and abundant as I possibly can be. I want my marriage to be as harmonious as it possibly can be, right? So we all want level 10 success. But then I ask myself, what's my level of personal development? And at that time in my life, I had fallen off the wagon. I mean, because I was in such scarcity fear mode, I would wake up at the last possible minute because my bed was the only escape from reality that I had.
Feel you.
Mm-hmm. Right? Where you just grind through the day and you're just putting on a happy face for your clients when you're dying inside and you crawl into that bed and you have a little bit of relief and then you don't want to get out of it. And so that's how I was living my life. And so my level of personal development was at a 2 or 3. And I believe that's the disconnect for the majority of our society.
I agree.
Everyone wants level 10 success, but how many people have a dedicated daily personal development ritual that enables them to become a level 10 version of themselves to create and sustain that success? So I ran home with this epiphany. I go, I've got to go study what do the world's most successful people do for their personal development? And I'm going to figure out what the best practice is and implement it every day so I can become that level 10 version of me to create the success that I want. And when I Googled best practices, I was looking for the best one. And I ended up with a list of 6. It was meditation, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and journaling. And depending on which person you asked or read about, there was no clear winner as, well, this one's better than the other. I think Jim Rohn, I think one of his favorites was journaling. Right. But I read an article called Fortune 500 CEOs Who Swear by Meditation. So I go, well, I got to try that. And then I saw a video of Ellen DeGeneres asking Will Smith. Now, this was pre-Chris Rock slap. different feeling, yeah, when you said his name. Yeah. Right? But sure. But she said, how are you a Grammy nominated, musician? You got a top TV show. You're an Oscar winning actor. You're successful at everything, Will. And you grew up in Philly. How'd you go from there to there? And he said, I learned about affirmations when I was 15 years old, and I wrote down my affirmations based on here's what I want in my life, here's who I need to be, and here's what I need to do to become that person to create that life. He said, I read those every day. I lived in alignment with those, and it changed my life. So I'm reading these articles, and I'm going, well, I've got to meditate, got to do affirmations, got to journal. I got to visualize. Well, I don't know. I can't do all of these. And I almost threw in the towel, and then I had an epiphany. I went, wait a minute. What if I did all of them? What if I woke up tomorrow 30 to 60 minutes earlier and I did all six of the most timeless proven personal development practices in the history of humanity? That'd be the ultimate personal development ritual. And I wasn't good at them. I didn't know how to meditate. It was kind of goofy. But after that hour, I went from being depressed for 6 months. My very first morning, I felt inspired, empowered. I had clarity. I was energized. I was learning something. And I thought, if I start every day like this, it's only a matter of time before I become the level 10 version of myself to create that life I want. And I'm gonna tie a bow on the story by telling you how it ended. 2 months later, I was thinking it'd be 1 year. 2 months later, I more than doubled my income. I went from being in the worst shape of my life to training for a 52-mile ultra marathon because I hated running. And I thought, what better way to grow myself than commit to something that's so far beyond what I believe I can do? And my depression didn't take 2 months to go away. It was gone within a matter of days because now I had hope. Now I had clarity. Now I had energy. I had a process that was proven to enable me to become the person to create the life I wanted. And I went to my wife. I said, sweetheart, I signed on 2 more coaching clients today. We've officially doubled our income in the last 2 months. It feels like a miracle. And it's all because of this morning routine. She goes, it's your miracle morning. And I go, you're right. I started sharing with my clients. It changed their life. I started writing the book, and the rest is history, as they say.
Well, this is spectacular. And as I said to everybody, this is process. And this is the great part about it. And yeah, you so succinctly said you're going to put a bow on it. Well, we're going to take a break for here for a moment, but I'm going to ask you to pull that bow off.
Unpack it
a little bit deeper than that, because this is such valuable stuff. And thank you so much for sharing, you know, where it all came from and the things that have changed. But I also know, and like I said in the very beginning, I don't believe for 1 second that you're just impacting people's consciousness one person at a time. Give me a break. You know, millions of people all over the world. And so we're going to take a very, very short break. We'll be right back. And Hal, if you would, please unpack and get us a little bit deeper into the morning miracle. We'll be right back. Hey, what's good? It's me, Joseph McClendon III. And let me get real with you just for a second. Now, you've probably heard me talk about this before, something that I call the thieves of our dreams. Procrastination, hesitation, fear of failure, fear of success, self-doubt, self-loathing, imposter syndrome, and fear of rejection. Well, let me ask you a question. What if you could not only retrain your brain and your nervous system to automatically default to your absolute best thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, but you could also do the same for others that are going through difficult times and challenges in their own lives and things that are stopping them from creating the life of their desires? Well, this is what I call neuroencoding. And at the risk of sounding arrogant, these are the same tools, methods, and strategies in neuroscience that I've used to operate in the upper 5% of all of my own businesses, especially as a coach, a speaker, and a presenter for the last 30 plus years. The Neuroencoding Institute provides you with the knowledge, the tools, and unmatched support to become a certified neuroencoding specialist and guide you to the life of wealthiness. And remember, wealthy means to be healthy, happy, and financially abundant. Go to neuroencoding.com to speak to an enrollment specialist today. And I look forward to serving you at the highest level.
You're enjoying this episode on Angel Phoenix Productions Podcast Network. To explore a complete lineup of quality programs and media production services, head on over to angelphoenix.com or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Angel Phoenix Productions.
Well, welcome back. I am back here with my friend, our guest, Hal Elrod. And before we left, he put a big bow on something called the morning miracle. And I asked him to unpack it, pull that bow loose, and share with us a little bit more and maybe go into a little bit more detail about the morning miracle that's not only changed his life, but literally millions of people around the world. So, Hal, it's all yours. Please unpack it.
Yeah. So the 6 practices of the miracle morning are now known as the SAVERS. So they're organized into an acronym. So meditation became silence. That's the S in SAVERS, of course. A for affirmations, V for visualization, E for exercise, R for reading, and then journaling became scribing, because having a J at the end of the acronym would have been awkward, right? So we got the SAVERS. And, these 6 practices, any one of these will change your life. But when you practice all 6, you see exponential results in how quickly you become a better version of yourself and ultimately the best version of yourself. Now, when I was researching these practices, a lot of them are very woo-woo, right? Like, you know, you think meditation, and I don't know about you, but like, I'm a very results-oriented person, right? I was in sales. And so I'm always thinking, I don't want to just affirm something so I feel better in the moment. Like, if I'm going to affirm that my income is improving, I don't want to just tell myself that I'm wealthy, right? I want to actually use affirmations to direct my subconscious mind, reprogram my beliefs, and direct my conscious behavior toward the end goals that I've got in my life. And so all of the SAVERS are really practical, actionable, and results oriented. So we'll run through each of these. So silence. I love that it became silence instead of meditation, because I like to incorporate prayer in my silence, sometimes breath work, right? So there's different forms of silence. The point is, Starting your day in peaceful, purposeful silence enables you to gain clarity. It's where usually you tap into higher consciousness, wisdom, etc. Now, I personally, in the new book, so there's the new updated and expanded edition, I've been doing the Miracle Morning for 15 years, and I've practiced almost every kind of meditation that you could imagine. And I've created kind of my own hodgepodge version that I call emotional optimization meditation. The idea is that rather than just quieting my mind, following my breath, which has immense value, and that's usually where I start, a goal is for me to condition the optimal mental and emotional states within. In fact, you named it earlier, what did you call it?
Neuro encoding.
So this, I would say this is neuro encoding. I'm going to research that now and add that into my repertoire. But emotional optimization meditation is essentially where you ask yourself, what is the optimal mental and or emotional state that would serve me today? Now, depending on the day, it might be confidence if you got to give a presentation that day. If it's Saturday morning and your kids are waking up in an hour, it might be playfulness. If you had an argument with your spouse the night before, it might be getting in a place of forgiveness, empathy, and love before your spouse comes out of the bedroom and greets you, right? In general, I like feeling at peace and happy and grateful and just feeling good, blissful in my life. That's my general state that I want to be in. I want to just feel fantastic. So this is how it works. Step one, identify what is your optimal mental and emotional state. Step two, get into the state, embody the state. Now, the way you do that varies depending on what the state is or where you're at. For example, if it's been a long time since you've been in that state, you might have to ask yourself, when was the last time I felt happy or confident, right? And then go back in time and get yourself back into that state. Once you've embodied the optimal state of consciousness, it's setting your timer on your phone for 5 minutes or 1 minute or 10 minutes, whatever you have time for meditation. And then what you're doing, right, is you're neuro encoding. You're hardwiring it into your nervous system. You're programming your subconscious mind so that now by embodying that state, the more often you do it, the more you have access to it at will. So that's my favorite form of meditation. If people are brand new to meditation, I encourage you listen to a guided meditation so that somebody professional who is guiding you on what to think, how to follow your breath, what to focus on. In fact, there's a free Miracle Morning app that does exactly that. It guides you through the practices. The A in Sabers is for affirmations. Now, I believe affirmations are the most misunderstood and the most effective form of personal development. I'll explain what I mean. Very well-meaning self-help gurus have taught us one of two approaches to affirmations that I think can be counterproductive. Number one is to lie to yourself and tell yourself that something is true, that you want to be true, but it's not necessarily. And number two is to tell yourself that everything's going to be okay, independent of any of your effort. So for example, if you want to be wealthy and you're struggling financially, you might say, I am wealthy. That's what we're taught. I am wealthy. But if you're not, you're creating an internal conflict that is counterproductive.
Yeah.
The other example is,
mind is back there going, no, you're not.
Yeah. You know, no, I'm not. You're like, I'm lying to myself and you're fighting going, shut up self. I'm doing my affirmations, right? The other example of using this flowery passive language is you probably heard this affirmation. I am a money magnet.
Yes.
Money flows to me effortlessly and in abundance. Like, that's not how money works. You've got to create value in the marketplace. You've got to put it out, right? So those are counterproductive. Here's three steps to create affirmations that are rooted in truth, that are practical, actionable, and will produce results. Step one, affirm what you're committed to. I am committed to blank. No matter what, there's no other option. When I had cancer, I was committed to beating cancer and living to be 100 years old with my kids and my wife. No matter what, there was no other option. Step two, affirm why it's a must for you. It's a must because, and usually I got 3 to 5 bullet points as to why it's a must for me. And then step three, affirm which actions you'll take and when. So you can run that affirmation through every single one of your goals or every role that you play in your life. I follow that formula as a dad, as a husband, as a business owner, as a human being. I have that formula for every goal. And every day it programs my subconscious mind and directs my conscious behavior. On to visualization. Visualization, we've also been taught, just visualize the end result. Make a vision board. That's step one of an effective visualization process, but it's the least effective step. It's valuable because it generates positive emotions to fuel you to move forward. But in terms of the second step, it's about visualizing what do you need to do today. And while you visualize, you mentally rehearse doing it, you put yourself in a peak state so that you're now compelled when the alarm goes off at 7 a.m. and it's time to go for that run. You've mentally rehearsed yourself getting dressed in your running clothes, heading out the front door of your house, looking at the sidewalk, getting yourself excited. So now by mentally rehearsing that, like the world's greatest athletes do, when it's time to actually do the thing, you're ready to do it. Exercise, nothing fancy there. Do 60 seconds of jumping jacks first thing when you wake up so you get that mental fog off and now you got blood and oxygen to your brain. Reading, you're one book away, of course, from anything you need to do, anything you need to change. I have a self-imposed rule. I'm not allowed to read a business book till I read a book on parenting or marriage, because that's my highest priority. And then the sixth practice is scribing, which is simply a fancy word for writing or journaling. And every morning I write down, what do I need to let go of? What am I grateful for? And what's the most important thing for me to get done today? And those six practices can be done in 6 minutes or 30 minutes or 60 minutes. The Miracle Morning book, of course, goes deeper and teaches you how to actually organize those into your daily ritual, especially if you've never been a morning person, because most people I've found identify as, I'm not a morning person. And that's what the book walks you through, is how do you make that mental shift so that you can implement this every single day?
Dude, that is so spectacular. And what I have found, and I've had similar practice my whole life. My dad was military, so I woke up with that guy in the morning. Make your bed up. Yeah. And my dad was, I had this guy that he would come in, and if he couldn't bounce a quarter, which is the way he was trained in the military, if he couldn't bounce a quarter off the bed, he would tear the bed up and you had to do it again.
Jeez. I
had that guy, as well as some of those other things. We had to exercise. You know, we had to do 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, 50 knee bends, and 50 jumping jacks every single day. So all of these things, I've inadvertently had them through my life. And I appreciate you so much in breaking them down in the way that you have, in a way that everybody can really understand. And it's so ridiculously simple. And here's the deal. The last question I want to ask you is this. Because it is so simple, it is simple not to do as well. What advice do you have to people that are thinking about this and they're going, okay, this is a great idea. What would be their next step to start implementing this?
So the two things. Number one is move your alarm clock as far across the room as possible, and then make a commitment to do it before you go to bed. Because whatever your last thought before bed is usually your first thought in the morning. People go to bed depressed, anxious, stressed about the next day. And as soon as your alarm goes off, you go, oh God, I have to face the day. But if you go to bed and you say, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to do at least one of the savers, you don't have to do all six. When I give a speech, I end my speech and I end the book with a 30-day challenge. Commit for 30 days to wake up at least 10 minutes earlier. You don't have to do a full-blown 60-minute miracle morning and do one of the savers. And what a lot of people will do when they're brand new is they'll just do the R, reading. They'll wake up 10 minutes earlier and they'll read the Miracle Morning book. And then think about this. Once you get to the chapter on silence, then the next day you can add silence and into your reading. And now your Miracle Morning incorporates a little bit of silence and some reading. Then you get to the chapter on affirmations, and now you fold that in. Within a week or so, you're doing all six practices in anywhere from, again, 6 to 30 to 60 minutes. And you just started so simply by moving the alarm clock across the room and committing to wake up 10 minutes earlier and just read a book. It doesn't get much easier than that.
So much. That is so fantastic. You know, just that one thing right there, moving it across the room, that is a game changer for a lot of people as well. Well, listen, Hal, this has been absolutely spectacular. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart on behalf of myself and everybody that's listening. And share with us, and we're going to obviously put it in the description here, but share with us how they can get a hold of you, how they can find your book, and how they can get a hold and watch your amazing documentary.
Yeah, thank you. The miraclemorning.com is the hub for everything. If you go to miraclemorning.com, you can access the movie for free. You can download the app from there. There's links to order the books, and you can join the Miracle Morning community, which is a Facebook group with 350,000 people from over 100 countries who are on this mission to do the Miracle Morning and elevate the consciousness of humanity one person and one morning at a time. And yes, there's millions of people doing it, but to me, it's like I'm always speaking to that one person that's listening right now. You are that one person. And here's the thing. This isn't just about you. I believe the miracle morning is a responsibility. Whether it's you do your own ritual, but it's waking up and it's doing it for the people you love and the people you lead. And that begins with you.
That is so spectacular. I have a saying, Hal, and that saying is that those of us that dare to dream while the rest of the world is having a nightmare, we're not only going to create the abundance and wealth that we want for ourselves and the people that we love, but we're also going to be shining examples for others to see what is possible. And you are such a shining example of that as well. So I want to thank you so, so much. And anything we can do for you, let us know. Ladies and gentlemen, please, please make sure that you indulge yourself in this man's knowledge, his wisdom, his experience, and do it for yourself and do it for everybody else. And remember always that life is exactly what you dare to make it, and fortune favors the bold. And you just heard from somebody who has boldly stepped up and made his life magnificent, and now you do the same for yourself. I love you, and I'll see you at the top.
This podcast was a production of Angel Phoenix Productions. Explore more episodes of this show or other great shows on the Angel Phoenix Podcast Network by visiting angelphoenix.com. The views expressed in this show do not necessarily represent those of Angel Phoenix Productions or its advertisers, and may contain language that's unsuitable for younger listeners.